Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Husson. When I created 1-2-listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life. On demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 1-2-listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I am Mark Husson, and 1-2-listen.com and the 1-2 family are my purpose. Give us a try. And if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
Snickerdoodle, shortbread, fudgy nut bars. How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Yes, indeed. Welcome home. Welcome to yourself. Thank you for tuning in so you may be turned on. Let's take roll call.
Ready? I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, I am peace, I am here, I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you, I am healed, I am love, I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Now that we're starting from that foundation, we're just finding our way back consciously to that truth. As a matter of fact, you're already there. You just have to remember that you are one with the one. We're ready to go on a journey, the mystery journey, back to yourself. Ricky Byers Beckwith, one with the one. We'll be back.
Wandering around, wondering what. I hit the glass with so much speed. What was I doing that I didn't see the glass? I was moving way too fast. I was moving way too fast. Felt like I was standing still. So I tried to gain some speed with my mind and with my will. Wanting to feel something moving in me, moving like the fishes in the sea. Rushing to get it done, needing to be one, with the real vibration. Sweet liberation, rushing to get it done. Working it out, she's wondering why. She married in such haste, there was no way was sweeter than the truth that came to pass. And the dream is still a dream, especially when you're moving fast. She was moving way too fast, felt like she was moving slow. So she tried to gain some speed with her mind, and off she goes, wanting to feel something deeper within, deep like the power in the wind, rushing to get it done, needing to be one with the one, with the real vibration, sweet liberation, rushing to get it done. Comes in who we came to be, like the air and sun and the earth we walk upon. Love is freely given and life becomes worth living when you're one with the one, with the one, one with the one, with the one. I'm watching the world and wondering why we live our lives with so much speed. What are we doing? If we don't learn from the past, are we moving way too fast? Are we moving way too fast, but really standing still? Just trying to gain some speed with our mind and with our will. Wanting to feel something greater inside, great like the river in the wide, and rushing to get it done, needing to be one, with the real vibration, sweet liberation, but we'll never ever get it done, till we become one with the one, with the one.
Simple truth. Never ever gonna get it done until you become one with the one, with the one. No matter how fast you run, you can rush, but if you're not one with everyone, you are never ever gonna get it done. Because when you think everyone is holding you back, that thought holds you back. Ricky Byers Beckwith, reminding us that we must become one with the one that we came here to be. We all have an assignment. We came here on a mission. We are part of a divine puzzle. We came here to release the unlimited potential of the one. But we got here on the planet, and stuff happened. And we forgot, like, what was I here to do again? I don't know, but in the meantime, that looks good. I think I do what they're doing, but no, you've got to find out what you came here to do. Remind yourself. And in that space, you will find truly real satisfaction. It makes a difference. It lives in each and every one of us. Call it woo-woo, call it all you want. The truth is the truth is the truth. And until you are able to surrender to the mysteries of the one consciousness, the part of you that cannot be described or put in words. We try, we use religion, we use spirituality, we use all kinds of words and big words and small words, but it's so much more than that. As a matter of fact, it is quite simple. It doesn't need all the words. It just tells you, hush, be still, and know that I am is God. Be still. You must be willing to suspend belief. You must be willing to suspend what you used to know. Don't do it for me, do it for you. But just as important, make sure you're listening to the deeper voice within yourself, because you have access. You have the connection. You are the one. Ricky Byers Beckwith can be found at rickybb.com. Ricky, R-I-C-K-I-E, letter B in the letter B, rickybb.com, Ricky Byers Beckwith, or weletitbe.com. And we're going to let that be what it wants to be, and I truly welcome you into the house of love. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins, where change is inspired, and when change is inspired inside of you, at your core, you can't help but make a difference. You make a difference by showing up. You make a difference by continuing to do your spiritual work. Your vibration will be different. Some stuff might pop up, but you're in a better place, in a grounded place to look at it, to observe it, to move with it, to dance with it, to lean into it, rather than feel like a victim. You're not. But if you do feel like a victim right now, it's okay. Let's talk about it. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show. I Am is your host, the I Am Presence. It's the host of today's show, and I guess it will be the host of tomorrow's show and the show after that. And the I Am Presence is uniquely expressing as Life Coach Ade, Ademola Anifowose, and so many other titles and labels that I like and that other people call me. The I Am Presence ain't tripping about what I label it, because it knows what it is. It knows it is all there is. So call it what you will. Call it forth, period. Welcome to the House of Love. We're here to support you on your transformation journey. What are you moving through? What are you growing through? What is showing up in your world? How grounded are you today? What are you grateful for? 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. I want to welcome those of you that are listening on the phone lines. Thank you for tuning in. Those of you listening on your iPads, the iPods, and the Androids, and whatever you're listening to, your computer, whatever you listen through, even if you're just standing there and you just tuned in, you close your eyes and you focus on your third eye and you tuned into this conversation. Welcome. Thank you for being here. And of course, we don't want to forget our Within Radio listeners. It is a joy to have you. Thank you for tuning in. And we can't leave out the archive listeners. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And those of you who keep coming back and listening, those of you sharing the show, welcome. Thank you for being who you are on the planet. Glow Glow is in the house. Silent listeners, disguised as guests, are hanging about. Love and happiness. Tia is showing up. Yvette is showing out. Whoa. It's going to be a good day. And talking about showing up and showing out, Celeste is getting ready to show out. Celeste, a.k.a. the church lady.
Woo!
You better be ready.
Hey, be ready. What in the world are you? You know, you didn't even give me time to go to some quiet place, you know, but it's okay. It's all good. You're on fire. I can feel you.
You are the quiet place, and you go all the time you need, because you know once my mouth open, you better be ready, because you never know when I'm going to come to you. So if you ain't ready, that's on you.
Ain't that the truth? Hi, Life Coach Day. How you doing?
How are you doing? I'm doing my hands too. I'm trying to do a Wendy Williams. Well, actually, speaking of Wendy Williams, is it Wendy Williams? Yeah, Wendy Williams. You know, I never really, I'm going to answer the question, but since I brought her up. When you said, how you doing, I just thought of her. But I think what caused it was, I think Thanksgiving morning or something, I watched her show. I never really kind of... I know, I did.
That's not your flavor, really. You know, you're a life coach. You watch Life Coach TV. That would be Lifetime. Well, Life Coach today doesn't watch a Lifetime for the same reasons we do. He's diagnosing. He's analyzing. You know?
And he's right here on Life Conversations Radio. That sounds like a trailer. He's diagnosed. Well, no. Don't keep your projections to yourself. I like to go there every now and then. I wouldn't even go into that. Let me just talk about Wendy. So, I mean, I kind of felt like, I don't know what it was, because it wasn't like I was watching it and I stopped watching it because it didn't really resonate with me then. But somehow I stumbled upon it and I was watching. And, you know, I actually do have an appreciation for the sister.
Okay, yeah. She's real.
Because, let me tell you why. It's the beginning when she does is it called Hot Topics? And
oh my gosh.
As I listen to her, and, you know, from first she cracks some jokes, we all do it, and there's some things I can say, I ain't really feeling that, because I'm sure there's things I say, people say, yeah, I'm feeling what he just said, you know, I like the other thing, and it's cool. But what I ultimately, as I listen to her with her, I was just observing, I was just taking it in. She was saying things that make sense. It's like, she's talking about, don't judge, don't compare your life to celebrities. Don't think they're supposed to do what you do. They live a different life. And I'm like, I'm seeing a different side of this woman. But like anything else, I wasn't seeing a different side of her. I am the one that shifted. And, I kind of think she's pretty cool. So, anyway, how you doing?
She's my secret pleasure. I'll admit it.
Why is she your secret pleasure? She don't need to be a secret.
Because I'm a light worker. I'm a new thought student. I don't have time to be kiki-ing and ha-ha with Wendy. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something.
You need to go back and go to... you got to go back to Lessons in Truth.
I know, because, educating me?
That's right. When you go back to Lessons in Truth, you know that God is in Wendy and in everybody and in Celeste and with Honey Boo Boo and what are those pageant things, the housewives, that God is expressing uniquely in them. And if you don't like what's projected back to you, that is your stuff. You ain't got nothing to do with the housewives. I'm done.
Okay, living with the one. That's the thing for December. He just broke that down.
That's it.
Well, thank you, Life Coach, today. I'll stop feeling guilty about it. But seriously, she makes me feel good. I just feel like I just have a hot cup of tea, and I'm sitting on the front porch when I talk to Wendy, because everybody knows. There's that girlfriend you got on the phone, and you're like, girl, let me tell you this. And, you know, you release it, and you let it go. You need girl moment, So that's what Wendy's here for. I appreciate her. Okay, so are you ready for your announcement?
No, because I haven't even answered the question you're asking me, and I haven't forgotten. But I want to tell you, next time you watch Wendy, feel free to post it. And guess what I'm watching, and don't be ashamed. Okay?
Yeah, okay, that's not happening. So not happening. But,
So real quick, you said what?
I said, sure, Life Coach today. Challenge.
Good. Well, to answer your question, I'm doing good. I can't wait to have Richard. Must join me. It's been a wonderful week. I had a great Thanksgiving. I am grateful. And that's it. So there's more to be said, but we'll say it after the announcement and just let it be, because we're hanging with the one.
I love it. Did you change the theme on me? Hanging with the one, or are we living with the one? Which one are we doing?
Depends what your zip code is. You know, if your zip code is 0001, then you're saying living with the one. That's the theme. But if you got a zip code where it's like 30303, you might be like, I'm hanging with the one. What's up? Who you hanging with?
Oh, wow.
It's all the same thing.
So on fire. I love this energy. You go ahead, man. You're bringing in the holy month very well. So let me get to it. Hello, family. So grateful to see you. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find our favorite metaphysical rebel, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach a Day. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach a Day and our wonderful guest, Richard Moss, can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346. And make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page.
Don't worry about them. We can hear you. Just bless them. Keep going. Folks don't even know. I see. It's okay. Go ahead. You're good.
Be sure to create a new posting because we want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com, hover on the Life Conversations Radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. Did you know that you have access to Life Coach Today any time of the day? Sure you do. You can email him any questions you may have, and he will answer them on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachaday.com. Is there a topic you would like Life Coach Today to explore on an upcoming show? You can email him that too. Let's get Life Coach Today's perspective on what you see moving and shaking the world that is impacting you. The theme for the month of December is Living with the One, and we have wonderful guests lined up who will help shift you one conversation at a time. Tomorrow, get ready for this, we have Joe Kelly, the Dad Man, Ashande Amum, Kasembe Abana, and Don Wolf, Keeper of Stories, joining Life Coach Today for a conversation about men and expressing their emotional selves. Brothers need a safe place to express themselves, and this is the place to have the conversation. So sisters, you definitely don't want to miss this one. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Be sure to join Mbasa Safara for the play experience. Have you played with yourself today? Have you passionately loved and appreciated you? If not, take a trip on the playground every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also, tune in to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today on the last Wednesday of the month. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today. But this month, you're going to have to check it out on December 18th. Be sure to join me as well for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we connect with introspective tools like tarot to get you more clarity about your life's journey. For more info, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. You'll find a calendar and a listing of all the shows. Did you know that the Ask Life Coach Today radio show is syndicated? It is on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Saturday nights just got hotter with the Sounds of Soul with Adeyemi Foloshe on 1-2 Radio. It's a musical show featuring music you can taste and music that will bring you back to who you are. Get ready for some soul, R&B, and pop, and much more every Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Don't let the soul train depart without you on 12radio.com. And if you happen to miss the show on Saturday, you can catch a rebroadcast this upcoming Wednesday at 11 p.m. Eastern, again, on 12radio.com. Finally, we have a special treat for you. For a donation of $5 or more to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show, we will send you a brand-new, hot-off-the-presses MP3 guided meditation done by our very own Life Coach Today. Say yes to your good. So to make a donation and check out the experience for yourself, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Then hover, don't click, on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then click the Ask Life Coach Today drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. Or you can go to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and or to Life Conversations Radio fan like pages and click the donate button. We thank you in advance, family, for being such a blessing. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach today.
Thank you, church lady.
Woo! It was getting a little hot in the church today. And can you please let them know where you're going to be tomorrow, because we want to support you while you're being interviewed, sir.
I'm ready for you. Let's see. No, it's okay. Well, actually, tomorrow at 6 p.m., good Lord. When you're one with the one, you can be everywhere. Tomorrow, I'm going to be interviewed by Dr. Imani Myatt, and we're talking about living the truth, well, knowing the path and walking the path. That's the theme topic. And
love
it's
it.
On... and on Blog Talk Radio. Now, to get to it, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, and the link is blogtalkradio.com/healthyhaiku4youth. Healthy, HAIKU, the number 4, youth. And we'll share that tomorrow, even post it on the like pages. So
absolutely.
If you need to go to the like pages. So, yeah, it should be fun. I love being interviewed. I love
now,
being
wait a
interviewed.
Minute. Is it 6 or 6:30? You said two 6:30. Times, buddy.
6:30 p.m. Yeah, I'm sorry.
6:30, Gertie. We'll be there supporting our life coach today.
Thank you, Celeste.
Around one.
Around one. All right, bye-bye. Don't give nobody a side eye no more. Stop giving them folks side eyes. It's like, I'm going now. I'm in here.
My business.
Sorry, I forgot. Okay, no, I'm not going to close. Yes, we are. All right. Thanks, Celeste.
Bye, boy. Oh, see.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
I forgot I was on the radio. I thought we were on a phone call. Let's get to it.
You're just showing your true colors. You be talking about bye, boy. You can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth. Bye. Yes. If you just walked in and thinking, what the flip is going on over here? Well, welcome home, because you're here by right of your consciousness. We have a vibration alignment going on, and we're just, you know, we're just doing what we do. It's important to relax. It's important to laugh. It's important to just recognize that life is too playful to be taken seriously. You don't need to do that to yourself. The more you play, the easier you heal, the more you connect with the one, the more flexible you are. So when you're flexible, when you're going through the mysteries of life, when you're discovering things, when you're trying to explain things and you can't explain it and you don't know why something happens and you call it a miracle and somebody says, no, it's not, and you go back and forth, you realize, well, it really doesn't matter. Because right here where I am feeling so good, so grounded, so at peace. I don't care what I call it. I'm just grateful for where I am. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. As Celeste said, the number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. If you have any questions or comments or thoughts that you want to share, make sure you press 1 on your keypad. Richard Moss is in the house, a beautiful elder, someone that I love so dearly. I love having a conversation with him. And what I love about him, he's one of those people I can say, water, speak on that, Richard, and we can have a whole, I mean, I just love him. I love his consciousness, and I'm ready to bring him on. But I want to read a little bit about him. And before I do that, I want you to kind of reflect on these questions. The theme for the month is living with the one. And the questions that I want to kind of invite you to contemplate, to meditate with, to be with, who and what is the one for you? Are you living with the one or afraid of the one? Have you discovered the secrets of the one? I'll let you sit with that. And if you allow yourself to open up to a new understanding of that one consciousness, that oneness, that pure awareness, you probably would have to reintroduce yourself to yourself.
But I want to introduce you right now to Dr. Richard Moss, who I so love. Richard Moss is an internationally respected as a visionary thinker, a teacher, and I would say an elder, an author of 6 books on transformation, self-healing, and the art of conscious living. His teaching bridges science, psychology, energy medicine, and spiritual awareness practices. His philosophy is entirely pragmatic, and he truly believes that work on consciousness must alleviate human suffering and address the root causes of why and how we create so much conflict in ourselves and our world. Now that's real work. That's called inside out healing. And if you're ready to go down that journey, you will know yourself in a new way. And yes, he's the author of Inside Out Healing, Transforming Your Life Through the Power of Presence. The presence is the one. Who and what is the one to you? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my brother, my friend, our elder, ourself. He's one with us, Richard Moss. Hello, Richard. How are you doing?
Hello, Richard. I am doing very well.
Yes.
Other than on December 12th, I'm going to have a hip replacement surgery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I've really been visiting pain, really perpetual discomfort and sometimes real pain for the last 8 months. And that has been a wonderful teacher, just a wonderful teacher. Not an easy teacher, but a wonderful teacher.
Yes, yes, I hear you. And I am hugging you right now, standing with you, and inviting the listeners to send you lots of love as you get the new hip. Or hips, you get both sides done.
No, one. Don't rush it. One.
Well, okay, we're not going to rush it, but we're just going to send a lot of energy to both sides and keep you strong, grounded, and smooth. Sending flexibility to all your body. And thank you for being here. December 12th, on that day, everyone, just send light and love to our brother Richard Moss. Don't forget, put it on your calendar right now.
Everybody else. And everybody else. I'm no exception. There are lots of people that end up with this kind of surgery and lots of people that have a lot more difficult things that they live with and face. So it's a good idea to just, whenever we think of our own suffering, to remember that it's not any different or special, more special than anyone else's. And that way we keep that really big, that big spacious place inside of ourselves, and we don't get too closed down around our own struggle.
Indeed. And it's been a while since we've had a conversation, and as you just shared with us, you've been going through a lot. And I think it's a good opportunity for me, and I think I always ask my guests this question. I don't care how many times they come here, but I really would like to hear your answer today like never before, because you have been moving through life in different ways. So I want to ask you, who are you? Who is Richard?
Well, you know, it's a fascinating kind of question. That's the question I've lived with for 50 years, or close to that. It depends on where I want to position myself. First and foremost, I am a human being on planet Earth. I'm not an American, even though I was born here. I mean, and I'm an American when I have to address nationality. But and as a human being, I have various roles. So sometimes I'm a human being a teacher, and sometimes I'm a human being a father, and sometimes I'm a human being a lover. And I'm always learning. I'm always a human being learning. And because I'm a human being, I celebrate and I suffer and I, you know, rejoice and I commiserate. And so who I am really is the awareness of all that. Mm. And I would never put that deeper consciousness as superior to my humanity and my ego. So it's the dance between my human quality, the same as everybody else, and this consciousness that is, I don't know if it's one because I only understand it as a relationship, but it's certainly prior to everything else. It's deeper than everything else. And it's the relationship between that awareness or consciousness that allows me and everyone else to outgrow ourselves, transform ourselves. So I'm a human being, a man, constantly in transformation, constantly evolving. Maybe, you know, very hard to see one's own evolution, except for example, when this pain came and it got worse, and it came very bad at first. It came fairly fast. And it was due to an injury that, you know, overstressing myself and carrying heavy bags in the Paris metro, very heavy, up 3 flights of stairs. And I, at rush hour, I couldn't get anyone to help me, and I couldn't ferry the bags up a flight and then come back down and get another one because, it, you know, maybe I could have. I could have trusted it wouldn't disappear, but it was too big a risk. So I didn't. Anyway, that set off this process. And the only point I want to make is that one experience has been to be using wheelchairs every time I go to an airport. And I think if the man I am now could be compared with who I was 10 or 20 years ago, I think I'd been really uncomfortable with being in a wheelchair, being helped by a total stranger who's making probably, what, $7-$8 an hour, mostly volunteering. These folks are, and they're really committed. They're really committed to serving. So I was so touched by that, and I was so touched by what it's like to be driving along in an airport on a wheelchair with everybody's buttocks around the same height as my face. Exactly. It's like suddenly I'm back in the view of a 10-year-old, you know, or a 9-year-old, an 8-year-old, or whatever age you'd be when you're that short. And I found, you know, people are very unconscious, really, in the airports. They have no idea that. So the wheelchair person, man or woman, and would say, "Excuse me, wheelchair." And occasionally I was on the electrical ones, but usually it was the wheelchair. You know, the electrical carts where everybody, you know, maybe 6 people go at the same time. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing, and the whole point I'm trying to make is, for me, it was a delight. It was absolutely fascinating to be a witness to the part of me that couldn't, at one sense, had a sense of disbelief. How can this be happening to me? I used to be a mountaineer and it's quite an accomplished technical rock climber. I've been up to 22,000 feet on my own legs. I've, you know, multi-thousand foot rock walls and things, but that's a long, long time ago. And yet, it's still part of my memory and a kind of body identity and a kind of sense of identity as the human being, as the man. And that's gone. That's long gone. And now soon a new joint, and I'll be able to hike and I'll be able to walk and bike ride. I won't be able to run anymore. I never was a horseback rider, so it doesn't matter that I can't do that. But the point is that you recognize, I recognize, I think we all recognize, how we're growing in consciousness when we respond to a situation that might have at earlier time made us angry or feel helpless or close us down, make us contracted, and instead I stayed happy, expansive, and really tuned into the people with me. And it was, what was so interesting is how much they told me about themselves, because some of these wheelchair rides could take 15 minutes. You know, airports are big. Keep them, you know, and you know, it's amazing how people open up when your heart's open.
Yes.
I gave them a big tip because I thought, boy, they go home having given this kind of service, and who knows what their life is like. So here, let me help. And that's, you know, so that's a little bit about me. Who I am, I really can't answer. Who I am is who I am right now with you. I'm you know, almost 67. I guess that puts me into the elder place. It depends on how old you are. I mean, technically I'm at the beginning of old age, but I have such a deep sense of vitality in myself. And the other thing that I learned over this time is that I don't need to have exercise, aerobic exercise, or be out in nature or be on my bicycle to feel deeply well in myself, in my being. And that's because every time a thought came up that said, now you won't be able to do this, or you used to be able to, I just dropped those thoughts and started right here. Because if you want to ask me what the one is, I'd say it's right here, right now. I don't, and it's how we are right here, right now. I don't think we can ever say it's a thing. It's not a thing. It's a capacity for intimacy with life. It's what makes it possible for us to witness ourselves and outgrow ourselves. It's this incredible, ineffable mystery of consciousness, awareness. And it's a bigger consciousness than the ego. It's a bigger consciousness.
Yes, I love you. I'm sitting there with a big smile on my face, you know. And just because your deep consciousness, the place you come from, I love it. And, you know, even the elder term or title, for me, it's something that I use with awareness. Because I think I know in the Western world, we don't quite appreciate that eldership, if you will. And for me, an elder is someone who has experienced life, understanding that there's more beyond the veil and can help others expand their consciousness. You know, before I brought you on, I said, you know, I can just say water and have you speak on it, and you will still inspire us. And you did that with the question, who are you? I mean, because I'm right in here. I can't even catch up. I'm like, where do I start? And, you know, we need those of us who are coming behind, those of us who are alive, those of us who are listening to you, we need to hear life from a different perspective, from a different point of view, from what it's like to be in a wheelchair when once you were standing up shoulder to shoulder with others. And it helps us really see our lives and maybe even kind of relax, like, they may not identify with your story of being in a wheelchair, but the way you share the story, the way you take us on a journey, energetically, it's like an energetic massage for me. And I appreciate that about you. You are truly one of the people who've touched my life and been part of who I am today. And because times when you talk about bringing oneself back to that space, that presence, to just focusing on the now, no matter what. And it's so simple, but sometimes we make it complicated. So I honor you, and I'm going to try and, you know, there's different things that you triggered in me, and just be you. I mean, you do that anyway. It's not, I don't even need to tell you that. But, you know, there's several things that you mentioned, and when you talked about the being on a wheelchair, and it reminded me of a friend of mine who we went out somewhere and she needed the wheelchair, and she doesn't quite need it as often, but in that environment she needed to get on one. And what was present for me, I mean, I've become a natural protector, you know, a nurturer when I'm around people, but if someone is kind of vulnerable, it's like my God later just goes, is intensified. And I was watching other people not move out the way or jumping in front of her, and I found myself getting upset. I was like, what's wrong with these people? Can they see her on wheelchair? And then I thought, wait a minute, sir. Get off your high horse. How often do you pay attention to people on a wheelchair when you're out shopping? And I was like, well, I noticed they're there, but I'm not always thinking, let me get out of the way, or I'm just trying to get what I need to get so I can get out. And it brought me back. You know, you talked about how we're unconscious. And I saw that there are areas of my life that I'm unconscious. And I had to really, I mean, she was telling me, it's okay, I'm used to this, but I really had to work with myself. because I became protective and I became judgmental of others, which is really about me. And it gave me a different perspective to say, you know what?
Yeah.
There's so many things in life that, you know, I'm not aware of. And when the opportunity shows itself, just watch what comes up. I'm not going to ask you a question. I'm just going to throw it to you because I can feel something bubbling up for you.
Yeah, what's bubbling up for me is the temple of the one is our body, this body. It, and some people believe you get an, you know, you get more chances, and maybe you do. But while you're here, it's only a belief about that. While you're here, this is what you got. This creature, this organism, and I know you know this, but it's so important that our audience, somehow what we do is we forget that, okay, this is the temple of life, and this organ, I am it. This body is the place where the spirit lives. And when I tell myself, oh, those people are inconsiderate, they're not, you know, instantly with that judgment, my body gets riled up, muddy, you know, irritable, angry. I long ago started down a road where I said, I don't know anything except this. I'm going to live my life so that I don't soil the temple. I don't muddy the temple. And let's see where that life leads me, because I don't know where it's going to lead me. So that meant every time I had a thought, or like you had, which is totally normal, and I had them too, in the wheelchair, like, get out of the way. And then I saw, wait, that changes my state. Very subtly, I can feel that in my body. So that means that thought, if it's making me disturbed even a little, is not a true thought. Because true thoughts just set us free. We are, the true thoughts are one with what really is. And so we become more at one with what really is. And that is peaceful and more still and more compassionate and more somehow intuitive and connected and empathetic and so forth. And so, so that, just to say, whatever the one is, remember the temple for that is you in your own body. And you know, we live our lives, and I love watching certain kinds of dramas in the movies or on television. Usually I wait till all the series are over and then I watch them on the computer. But with my partner Annalisa, or sometimes by myself, and they're so emotional, and that's what's so compelling about them. It's human beings struggling, and it's human beings being ugly, it's human beings being caring and generous and clever and ingenious, and we are all that, each of us too. So those, the television, the shows and all, they're just mirrors for aspects of our own lives. But we all take for granted that we have to be angry, or we have to be jealous, or we have to be resentful, and we do not have to. It's a choice. It's a choice. And if you really love the temple, that's what, you know, I think when people really love the temple, they stop smoking. But maybe they can't do it for themselves, but then they get pregnant, then they stop smoking. You know what I mean? And it's a shame that people will stop things that are bad for them once they're sick. And instead of realizing, this isn't good for me, and I'm gonna do battle with my impulses, because I want the temple to be just as vibrant and transparent to the aliveness of this limitless current that just flows through us when we are still. And we have to work to become still. It's the, no, you know, we get an ego, and our ego chases us, or we chase it, and it chases us. We chase after success as our ego understands it. We avoid pain as our, or fear or unpleasantness as our ego understands it. But eventually you have to be able to say yes. You have to accept. And then you listen in your body and you realize, if this is making me resentful, I don't want to do it to myself. If this is making me impatient, I don't want to do it to myself. And then, like anybody else, like a great chess player or a great violinist, it's a practice. And so where I've landed, because I made that decision 30 or so years ago, I can use my hand as an image for our listeners. If my fist is closed, that's not a natural position for the hand. Mm-hmm. And if my hand is all the way open, that's not a natural position for the hand. If you do it, you'll feel it's not natural. It doesn't want to be there. But if you completely relax, you'll see that your hand finds a position that's, you know, around halfway between closed and wide open. And that, you can feel that in your hand. Now imagine your whole body feels that. And as soon as you say, you don't, he doesn't love me or she doesn't love me, you close. As soon as you say, I have to do more for God, maybe you open too wide. And so you start to have to be really here in the present, because in the present, I mean, you know, you coach people, if until they can have a relationship with themselves, their children, their spouses, their co-workers, their friends, that starts right now with what's actually happening in their awareness, in their bodies, then everything's lived in the head. Otherwise, everything's lived in the head, and the head makes too much mischief.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Oh, my God, I love that exercise with the fist. I mean, it's just like, yeah, because I have my hand wide open, and you said it's not natural. I'm like, what do you mean it's not natural? And, of course, when you just realize, I'm like, oh, I get it. If you're just joining us, you're hearing the voice of a wonderful man, a wonderful elder, Richard Moss. He's the author of Inside Out Healing, Transforming Your Life Through the Power of Presence, being with the spaciousness that is always here. And to find out more about him, his website address is richardmoss.com, M-O-S-S.com. And we're taking your calls, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. Richard, you said something, you said we don't have to be angry, we don't have to be jealous, and you talked about relationships. And I find that relationships are a good tool to help us back to ourselves. I think life is really a relationship, and there's so much there for us. But as you were talking about what we don't have to, it took me back to things, interviews that I've watched or conversations I've heard with people where I've seen couples who are they're in a great relationship, but somehow in a conversation they might be talking about something happened, and particularly I'm thinking of an interview that I watched, and the actress was asked if her husband was jealous about something that she did. And she said, no, he's not necessarily that type. And she said, and then they asked her, would you want him to be jealous? She said, yeah, it would be nice. And I've been sort of being with that, the idea that we think our spouse, our lover, our boyfriend, whatever, the friend with benefit, need to be jealous in a way to profess their love, I think it's quite confusing. I think it's crazy. I think it's insanity. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, how do we know we're loved? You know? And in a way, the answer is you have to trust you're loved. You can't know. You have to live as if you're loved. And let's say you have someone like an actress who's extremely successful, and maybe in some ways more successful in consensus, kind of maybe economic as well as kind of, you know, because fame and notoriety and all of that make people seem bigger than life. And and that actress has a partner. If he loves her, he loves her success. If he loves her and loves her success, he has to be a man who also loves his own path, his own work, his own, what he does. And so there isn't jealousy, but there is appreciation. There's not a day goes by I don't tell Annalisa I'm on the show now. I go all over the world, and more we go together. I love it that we go together, and she brings this deep feminine wisdom. But she's hardly anywhere near as well known as I am. I don't think she is, and she's worked with me for a long time, so she knows my work, and she helps me in my work, and she inspires me. And there's not a day that goes by I don't tell her how incredibly, how much I respect her, how much I admire her, and there's a lot of reasons. I love the way she's with her sons. She has three sons, 35, 37, 39. They're over in England. She's British, but she's living here. She has dual citizenship. I love the way she listened to them. I love the way she's just knitting away, making gifts for their girlfriends and wives. We have a dear friend who just learned, and he's one of my elder mentors, and his wife has got a cancer. And Annalisa just whipped out a new pair of hand warmers because they're from a warm climate and they had to go for therapy treatment to New York, and that's a lot colder. So I love it that she is so selfless. She doesn't buy things for people. She makes them, you know. And that she tells me all the time what's right for her, and she knows it in her body, and I can just go down the list. So the point is, we're here to absolutely empower everyone in our lives, and we can only do that. We can't do it because we're jealous. Jealousy basically says, or we want the other to be jealous. If the other's jealous, then we feel safe that somehow, oh boy, I'm really important to him or I'm really important to her. But I'd rather live with somebody that respects me, admires me, appreciates me, and tells me so, and has a life that's so rich in themselves that whatever I do, whatever I achieve, that's just something that they feel good about, not something they resent or feel somehow that maybe they're left out or not enough. That's how I do it. You know, that's just my, you know, where I am. And I mean, there are wonderful in show business couples, which I think probably live exactly what I'm saying. Each has their own different work in the world, and they get along really well, and they do different things. And then there are people who are much more narcissistic or much more wounded or much more insecure who need more than any human being could give them and don't know how to find what they need from within themselves.
So true. And that's the thing, you know, not knowing how to find what you need in yourself, because sometimes people have made it, they've made the idea of if your partner, your lover, your friend is jealous, that means they really like you and it makes you feel special. And Course in Miracles talks about the special relationship, and special relationship only leads to disaster. Oh, it's just so special, as if, you know, they're separate from everybody else. And it's an inside job. I want to talk about pain as a teacher and health challenge as in people, you know, people say, well, they're spiritual people. And I don't even want to speak on that now. I want to just speak to it after Celestial Moment, because I really do know that you're going to bring a deep wisdom to this conversation. But I wanted to just kind of prep you, so to speak. You know Jerry Hicks, right? Jerry and Esther Hicks? Yes. When Jerry made his transition, or when he was going through a health challenge, I think he had some kind of cancer, there were people who couldn't understand why Jerry couldn't use what he was taught and what he was teaching. And, you know, there was this confusion that Jerry, so spiritual, has health challenge, and then he died. And there's also people who feel like, you know, when you're on a spiritual path, you shouldn't be ill or shouldn't have to deal with what other people are dealing with. And I would, on the other side of the conversation, I want to hear your thoughts on that, you know, where we make space, make room for all that life has to offer as a teacher, all right? You are listening. No, not right now, no, because I know you're going to.
Okay.
Yeah, after you come back, not right now. It's a teaser for the listeners. Just before they thought they were going to leave, like, ooh, I want to hear that. A little bit of math. Okay, that's my ego. Yeah, I want to keep people. No, actually, yeah, it's my ego. No, but not. I wanted to just prep the question. I don't know what it is. It is what it is, okay? But if you have to go, you go, and then you can come back. The show is archived. But it's really an important question. It's in the idea of pain as a teacher. Richard has shared so much about what he's going to see, the different point of view, even if it's through the buttocks of other people, you know, gives you a different, you know, you get to see a different view. But, you know, spirituality and health. Spirituality and challenges, do they go together? Ah, 347-426-3346 is the number. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. And I am your host. The I Am Presence is uniquely expressing as Life Coach Ade. So if you have any issues with anything I say, take it to the I Am Presence, because I'm not responsible. But anyway, to find out more about Richard Moss, you can go to his website, richardmoss.com. Great book that he has. I think this is the latest book, Inside Out Healing, Transforming Your Life Through the Power of Presence. On his website, one of the things that that's on there, when you go to his site, the statement said, the greatest gift we can give another is the purity of our attention. Think about that. And on that note, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Hi, this is Mark Hussin, founder of 12Radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great, and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. For more information about sponsorship, then send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. That's radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimki Center for Wholeness. Ahimki is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimki is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimki Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimki mind management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimki.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimki Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. 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 There is no separation, 'cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me. When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. 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 Well, there is no separation, 'cause we are one. Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I'm hoping that you know that we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one.
That is an affirmative thought. There is no separation. Carly Jackson. You can find her on Facebook. Carly, C-A-R-L-L-I-E. Jackson, J-A-X-E-N. And you are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. I am, is your host, Life Coach Ade. And we're getting ready for Celestial Moment. Just to let you remind you, we're here Monday to Wednesday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. All the shows are archived. And so whatever you miss, if you want to come back and listen again, you can go back. You can subscribe on iTunes. So that way, the shows are automatically downloaded onto your devices. And we're taking your questions, 347-426-3346. Press 1 on your keypad. Or you can post your questions on what I call the land pages. That's the like pages and the fan pages put together, land pages. We have two, and some of you are either on one of the two. So we've got Life Conversations Radio. You can post your questions there. Or Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show. Post your questions and we'll get to it. And that's also where you can make a donation to Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show. If you feel like the show's transforming you and helping you to recognize who you are and just want to give back. We appreciate you. We thank you for being here. And it's time now for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, who is ready to drop some numbers. Celeste. What's the number? You have to unmute yourself or we can't hear you. That's the way it works. You haven't. There you go. Now you can talk.
Well, I thought I was here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
You know what? I had to mute myself because I get so moved when Richard Moss speaks.
Mm-hmm.
I literally, you know, was crying up here in public where I am. And it's just the gentleness and the combination of power at the same time is so overwhelming during this energy of stepping into winter solstice, stepping into the holy holidays, as I like to call it, Kwanzaa, Christmas, all those things. He's such a gift to start off this show with in December, really. Mm-hmm. He's such a king, friend, lover, father of a man that it overwhelms his spirit. And I'm so grateful that you consistently bring him back because I needed that. I needed to hear how he spoke about his partner because there's so many of us that would love to have that experience. And we get to when he shares his story. So I say thank you to him and I say thank you to her. And may they both continue to be a blessing to all of us and a blessing to each other and their families.
Yes,
so, okay.
Yes,
I love me some Richard Ross. Let's not get that confused.
I understand.
Okay, so are you you ready for the energy of the day?
Let's do it.
Am I?
We'll find out.
It's a master number. It's 11, but we're going to drop down and play to the High Priestess, your favorite girl, intuition and Holy Spirit coming through. So let's get to it. Let's see how we play with it. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. I come bearing a number gift and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. The energy of the day equals 11, but we're going to add one more time to play with the number 2. 11 has all of the aspects of 2, enhanced and charged with charisma, leadership, and inspiration. It is a number with inborn duality, so let's play right there. When you add 1 plus 1, we get 2. And the meaning of 2 is balance. What best way to get mastery over your life through the gifts of balance and groundedness? The perfect symbol for number 2 is also found in the yin-yang symbol, the blending of the light and dark, positive and negative, dancing as one. We are everything when we truly see each other. 2 is also the High Priestess in tarot. We call her the first teacher on a spiritual journey. She's your intuition, or that little voice speaking to you, a direct connection to the soul within, expressed outwardly. When you learn to pay attention, it becomes easier to trust her divine messages when we learn to trust ourselves. Now, 2 also shows up as the hawk in medicine cards, and that's where we're going to put the spotlight today. Hawk, messenger of the sky, circle my dreams and teach me the message as we fly. Hawk is akin to Mercury, and it is the messenger of the gods. Are we in alignment to receive? What do we see when we look out at our creations? Hawk medicine teaches us to be observant, to look at our surroundings for nuances of power, observe the obvious in everything that we do, and call it good. You are your own best masterpiece when you remove all the hindrances for allowing your light to shine through. We even get clues along the way. Life is sending us signals through pleasures, challenges, and our fears. We want to connect with our emotions to check in, to see if there are helpful reminders, or our fears might just be muddying in a view. When we are deeply attached to outcomes, we might actually momentarily lose our sight. The message gets lost in delivery when ego steps in before spirit. So clear your channel of any vibration that doesn't help you fly by employing hawk power to combine ears, heart, mind, and soul to deeply listen. Then you will really feel the experience of living with the one. And that's the story of number 2 told through our friend the hawk. All is well. I'll see you on Tuesday around 1 for another Celestial Moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Celeste. Thank you for the wisdom, for the inspiration, and your passion to share the numbers story. I love it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Talk to you later. Life is good. It's getting better. And I would say I'm going to give Richard a new name. Well, yeah, I'm going to add to his name. He's the Elder Hawk, because he has that view of looking at life. So this is Destiny Muhammad, Destiny Harpist from the Hood. This song is Great. That we, just in case you want to know. But it's time to bring on Richard Moss to continue the conversation. Before the break, I brought up the idea of pain as a teacher, and we want to hear from Richard. His thoughts about that. Welcome back, Richard.
Thank you, Coach Ade. Yeah, I've been listening to Celeste. Thank you, Celeste. How sweet what you had to say about listening to me. That touches me. I did have time to just sit here. Of course, I started out in medicine, so I think I went into medicine because it was clearly a way to address suffering. There are other reasons. That's not important for our conversation. So what about pain? What about pain? Well, I've been in, and I'm sure most people have, in levels of pain that lasted long enough where nothing you can do. There's no tool you can use. There's no centering practice. There's no meditation. I couldn't even truly pray. I couldn't even find a place where I could pray. And that level of suffering, you know, is something, for example, that Western medicine does very well with and to alleviate. And I don't want to go into the complexities of Western medicine and what it does well and what it doesn't do well. It's not important. That you can't, there is a level of pain where the only thing you can learn from it later is maybe to just pray that others never have to feel it. To just want to work for a world where at least human inflicted pain. I mean, accidents do happen, and some things are true accidents, and some things are just negligence. You know, people texting on a phone getting into a car crash, that's not an accident. That's negligence. But pain, spirituality is really, it's what helps us become better human beings. It's whatever we do to become better human beings. So if you have pain and you say to yourself, well, how can I live this now in a way that just moves me toward being whatever it means to me, whatever it means to you, that to be a better human being, then you are, in a sense, co-creating with the pain. You are creating the man or woman you want to be, the person you want to be, in relationship to that pain. Nobody, there's no book about how to do it. I mean, well, maybe there are many, but the point is, it's in our own hands how we create ourselves, how we invent ourselves. If pain is too terrible, you need to have help. Thank God for the medications that can alleviate the pain. And I've been in a situation where I was in that kind of pain, and thank God for medication. Then I've been in intense pain that was short. Again, in that moment, many, many, many things can happen. I remember being in the most unbelievable pain. It was a sailboat accident, and all the skin was ripped off my hands by one of the ropes just going up so fast, and I couldn't let go of it quickly enough. Then it lifted me off the ground as it was tearing the skin off my hands, and when I fell from about 10 feet up, my feet were about 10 feet up, then I really damaged my right ankle very badly. It's probably part of why the right hip has gone bad now, and that was 2005, end of 2005. So, but in that moment, someone came to me and just took me in his arms. And I was still in pain, but I started to sob uncontrollably, just uncontrollably. And then a moment later, I had an image of the captain, and I realized he was in danger. And I said to the man, I had an image that he was going to hurt himself. I didn't know what he'd done. I just had an image he was in danger. Because I was completely out of control. I said to this man, leave me. You have to go to the captain. He's in danger. Turned out he was really in danger, and the man went and insisted that the captain get out of the water before he really injured. He was trying to free the propeller. So the sail had caught in it when it went overboard. So it's not important, but the point is, in that moment, we are multidimensional. We are multidimensional sometimes in these moments of absolutely astounding pain. The door opens. There's no room for self. There's just pain, and it's beyond. And I thought at the time, how is it that I can still maintain consciousness in this kind of pain? And I thought about, in that instant, I was with every soldier where an IED goes off. I was with the soldiers of every war, where suddenly there's an explosion terrible wound, and the pain is beyond description. And one of the terribly misleading things about our television and films is that you don't just get whacked over the head with a gun and get up later. You don't get shot in the shoulder and just have a little thing, you know, holding your arm up in a sling. That's not what happens. I mean, not anywhere in the body. The body is filled with trillions and trillions of pain endings, nerve endings. And when there is terrible pain, it's afterwards. You decide, I decide, no, I don't want to ever live in any way that brings this kind of pain to anyone else. But then there's the pain that's chronic, the pain you have to live with, like I've been living with now for 8 months. And you can make pain will make you, whether it's emotional pain or physical pain, it tends to make us very self-involved. The story becomes about us, what we're feeling, what's happening to us. And you have to realize that people want to listen to that. People care. But at a certain point, it's more important, I decided it's more important to be present for others than to be concerned about me. Mm-hmm. And so that was a choice. That was a way to learn from pain. I won't close my heart because I'm in pain. I won't stop listening because I'm in pain. I won't make myself the center of attention because I'm in pain, no matter where it is. And then I also noticed something else, which was after a while, none of the pain medicine really mattered much. It didn't do enough of a difference, the aspirin, ibuprofen, Tylenol, all those things. But they were giving me a really bad upset stomach, so I just stopped. So I had nothing to take for the pain. And I noticed at the end of the day, I wanted and I really enjoyed a good glass of whiskey or a vodka. And I thought to myself, oh, and it actually softened the pain. And it released the body is in constant armor when we're in pain. And it released that a little bit. And then I got to realize, oh, my God, this is why people who have chronic emotional or physical pain become alcoholic or drink too much. And I of course, wouldn't and didn't let that happen to me. But I saw it, and I immediately had this deeper understanding of how people get caught, what pain does, and how hard it is to resist, especially if it's fairly consistent and relentless like it had been for me. And, when I finally got an injection on September 30th into my right hip, and I've done everything, every form of healing but there's no way we know now, except an outright true miracle, to regenerate a hip where the cartilage is gone and the bone is on the bone. Mm-hmm. Someday with stem cells, maybe, but even now at the present level of stem cell research, I'm not a candidate because I have bone on bone. Mm-hmm. But So I did get an injection, a steroid injection in my right hip, and it also had anesthesia. It was a pain specialist, and it did that for me. And because it was, anesthesia, like what the dentist does when you're having your teeth worked on, it works mm-hmm. very fast. And mm-hmm. within about a minute, the pain started receding. And within about 2 minutes, 3 minutes, it was gone, and I started to sob right there on the operating room table where he was doing it. In the hospital, and I just started to sob. I couldn't. And there was a nurse and just came and held me, which was very sweet. And when I was driving home, it was a long drive. I kept crying because I realized, boy, I was in so much pain. That's physical pain. Mm-hmm. And thank God for Western medicine, which is basically a battlefield medicine. Most of the major advances in medicine happened because armies needed. We needed to find a way to keep our soldiers from getting sick when they were fighting in the Philippines and in the South Pacific. We, and on and on. Most of the surgical advances with pain and with and burns and all kinds of things, they all come from military. And then, of course, I probably said too much already. Emotional pain is another subject. If we want to talk about that, we can go there.
Yeah, actually, we have a question. We have two questions here, which would be really good for the emotional pain. But I do appreciate the perspective how pain opens us up to more. And even when you talk about being there for others and not just focus on being the center of attention, I'd love that journey because sometimes pain is something that we run from. It's excruciating. It's distracting. But really, maybe it's not distracting. Maybe it's calling us to pay attention. And I love your insight, your wisdom, and what you had to share. There are two questions here, but I want to ask you this. Well, let's see. Because I really want to ask about, people, well, not people, but the conversation around people feeling like, well, I'm spiritual, I meditate regularly, I fast, I do this, why am I still having a health challenge, why am I going through this? And time-wise, I think we're good. Yeah, if you can speak to that, you know, there's this belief that because one is walking on a spiritual path, then we shouldn't have pain or have a health challenge, and if we're having a health challenge while considering ourselves spiritual, then there's something wrong with our consciousness. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, eventually all of us have to give back our magic. And by magic, you know, if you're a beautiful woman, eventually you're going to age and be a beautiful older woman or a very elder woman. But it's a very different kind of beauty than our culture recognizes. You give back that magic. If your mind is very, very astute, no matter what, as you get into your 80s and 90s, the mind will begin to fail. Shakespeare, in his very last play, The Tempest, talks about a character, Prospero, who at the very end, on the very last pages, Prospero was a great wise man and a magician. People came from all over for his wisdom. And at the very end, he agrees to go back to where he started from, the part of the world that he'd been exiled from for political reasons. And he gives his magic back to a wood fairy, a wood elf called in the play called Ariel. And he gives it all back, and he's now going to go back to where he started from, but he's going to be just an old man with no power, with nothing in particular. That process of slowly but surely, gradually, sometimes very rapidly, having to give up our magic, if the magic is youth, if the magic is good health. When I think about our veterans coming back, injured, wounded, poisoned, amputees, they have to give back a lot of the magic. A lot of the understanding of what they thought it meant to be, you know, alive and healthy and young and vital, and try to make a world without that. That's an opportunity for each person to become a victim or to stand up and invent themselves and become, I don't mean an example for others. You don't live your life to be an example for others, but to be an example for yourself.
You were going to say something else?
I don't know. No, it would come out of my head, which is that this was just coming out of my heart.
So I love you. Oh my God, I am so grateful to know you. I am so grateful. You know, because you create a space for men to tap into their heart as well and be able to not, you know, to go beyond trying to think things through, but just really listen through all the other things that are happening, and it makes such a big difference.
And spirituality doesn't protect you. It doesn't protect us from illness. We have a body. The body isn't an isolated thing. You have more bacteria in your body than you have cells in your body. And we live in this collaborative community of life that is our body. And that body is interacting with the whole world, with the food we eat and how it's raised, with the air we breathe and what's in it and what we're putting in it as a species, with the water we drink, with the electromagnetic fields that are everywhere, with the radio and radar and blue, you know, Bluetooth and every, you know, all of that in very minor ways, but cumulatively, we're always in relationship. There's no such thing as a body isolated in itself. And so you can't protect yourself from illness. A spiritual life is what you live in the present moment. It doesn't protect you from anything. It is what protects you is the choice you make and the practice you live that is yours, that you determine that you want to be this kind of a man or this kind of a woman, and that's what you're going to do. You're going to be this kind of a parent or this kind of a partner, a lover. It's a choice. We make these choices. We invent ourselves. We create ourselves. That is what we're born for. Mm. And then spirituality is what we mean when we say, what are the things that actually help us find our way to the kind of human being we most would like to be? And that's different for all of us. Some people want to be another Steve Jobs. You know, I mean, I asked a man who reaches thousands, hundreds, maybe 100 times more people than I do who I'm mentoring, you know, who his hero was. And this guy's at 35, and he's a very top-level trainer worldwide, and particularly in Europe. And he says, well, it's the character in Iron Man. I mean, other people are saying Nelson Mandela, Gandhi, you know, Mother Teresa. You know, who is it that you most admire? Because then ask yourself, how did they get to be that kind of person? And then say to yourself, okay, if I have some understanding of how they got to be that kind of person, then I'm going to try to live my understanding so I become the best human being I can be. For him, it was this guy, Tony Stark, the character in Iron Man, because, not the actor, the actor is, because he's super bright, super wealthy, has a beautiful girlfriend, and he saves the world. You know, and it was funny, but still, yeah. The save the world was in there. The love one woman was in there. This guy is super bright. He speaks 8 languages, and he's only in his 30s. And so, you know, there are extraordinary people like that, and they need elders to kind of keep them going in a not get caught up in their own success.
Yeah.
The man you mentioned who died,
Jerry
doesn't protect you. Yeah, Jerry
right.
Hicks doesn't protect you. It's how you die. And I would say right now, based on my experience with pain, I don't know how I'll die. I can hope that I'll die with my heart wide open. But maybe I won't. Maybe there'll be too much pain. Maybe, you know, who knows? And maybe I'll decide to end my life before it becomes that terrible. That's a freedom we all have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and everybody at some point, I mean, I've helped people cross over, quite a few. So, whatever the confusion is, I think that spirituality is not immunity.
Yes.
It's the last thing of all. It makes us more profoundly intimate with life and intimate with ourselves and intimate with everybody else. Now I'm done.
Yes, so true. It wakes us up. It makes space, make room with what is happening. Be awake. And, you know, you talked about death, and I think I'll go to this question instead of the other one. I'll go back. Well, there's 2 questions. I was going to go to this one last, but you've been talking about death, so I think it would be a good question to ask you. Here's a question from Samantha. She said, please tell me how you feel about death, being a healer. I'm not talking about suicide. I mean that after years of pain and illness, being able to see death as a welcome relief. I just wondered your thoughts about this.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you my thoughts. I'm going to tell you an experience. So, a woman who had been, you know, had had chemotherapy initially when she first discovered breast cancer in her 60s. Early 60s or so. Then when it recurred, she was a Tai Chi teacher, European woman. And she decided no more chemotherapy, no more, let's just see how life unfolds. And 12 years later, finally the cancer had advanced so far. So she was, maybe 78, something like that. And I knew her well, and she had done a lot of work with me in my retreats over the years and my mentoring programs. And I always called her like a master of joy. She had such a wonderful attitude to life, such a positivity. She was a wonderful teacher, she was an elder that really, in the midst of continuous, ongoing suffering, because if she just exerted a little too much, the cancer would take over stronger, and if she went back into her deeper energy and quieted herself, the cancer would go into inactivity. So the end of the story is this: finally, she has a completely obstructed bowel; she can't eat anymore. Well, and there's nothing that can be done for her, and so her body itches. She's not in a lot of pain, but a lot of itching. She's weak. But her mind is completely alert, completely awake and alert, and she's struggling. And she emailed one of her younger friends emailed me and said, would you call Madeline? So I said, okay, and I called Madeline, and Madeline said to me, I don't know what to do. In my country, it's legal to have medical-assisted death. But I'm struggling and struggling whether I should do that or I shouldn't do that. And she asked me, what did I think? And so I stayed quiet for a long time. In fact, in the email, they told me what she was struggling with, so I'd had a chance to really listen. And all I said to her was, Madeline, I know you. I know how you've lived your life, and I cannot imagine a God that would judge you for either choice you make.
Mm.
And the moment I said that, I can't imagine a God that would judge you or punish you for either choice you make. She just went, and completely relaxed. And immediately contacted the authorities that supervised that.
Wow.
And she had the rest of that day with her sons and their wives and close students. And the next day, and I saw videos of her on the last day of her life. This is not a person in bed. She tossed out half a cup of tea out on her porch. You know, but there was no hope for her, and except, again, you know, and she made this choice while she had a sense of dignity and her mind was good and she hadn't become so toxic that she would become delirious. And they came, and in total peace, she left this life. So whoever asked the question, my answer is I do not believe in a God that punishes us for a choice we make in a situation like that. I don't believe in a God that judges us ever, at all. And I tell you this, the God you believe in creates you. Your belief in God, not the real God, because there's no way any of us can know the one. We can only believe something about the one. But I refuse to believe in a God that judges us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we get judged. When we judge another, our bodies immediately become angry or jealous or resentful or bitter. That's our punishment. We judge ourselves immediately. We get inflated and grandiose and superior, or we judge ourselves in a negative way, and immediately we get depressed. That's our punishment. That's our judgment. That's the only judgment I believe we will ever have. And if you're not in your body, you're not going to know it. And to concoct a story that you're going to be judged afterwards, well, maybe some people needed that. I don't believe that. Because if you live a life believing in a God that judges you, you're going to live a very restricted, repressed life. If you live a life with a God you believe is absolutely would never punish you, then you'll stop punishing yourself and you'll stop punishing other people. So we are the creations of the gods we create or the beliefs we create. When you believe something, that belief creates you just as much as you created the belief, and it's a circle. It's a kind of self-fulfilling thing. So I truly believe that death has to be accepted. Mm. And it's not easy to do. If you've learned to accept fear and loneliness and abandonment and powerlessness in the course of your life and still lived a life of authenticity and devotion and dedication to anything that for you is meaningful, your children, your family, your work, then when death is approaching, all we can do is say yes. You know, and if all your life you've been saying yes, then you just say yes to every stage of the process of death. Mm. And no one has ever come back from death, though people have come back from near death. And what they report from near death is absolutely remarkable. Sometimes that book by the neurosurgeon, I have it right here.
Eben Alexander?
Eben Alexander, yeah.
Yeah.
I read it and found it fascinating, fascinating. And you know what? Not dissimilar to what I experienced when I awakened, though I didn't have the kind of universe that he entered into, but the feeling and the connection and the oneness and being moving up and down to almost completely part of everything to darkness, you know, fluctuating between the dark and the light. That was very much part of my experience, but 37 years ago. But we don't know. And you know, you have to decide whether you need to believe in something about death or what happens after death, or you decide just to live your life and trust. If there's a God and if there's a life after death, I don't have to believe it now because I trust that the absolute best thing that can happen for me and every human being is going to happen after death.
Yes, you... Let me go into the next question because you've actually spoken to it, and that's what I love about life, about this. I don't have words for what I'm thinking about, because there's a connection, and all that we need, all the answers are here. Intuition is just tapping into what is already here. Today's theme topic is Mysteries of the One. And the second question, you start to speak to it before we even ask you, so which is good. So you may want to add a little bit more. So here's a question from, the question is from Linda. She said, my mother is battling breast cancer. I don't know how to support her in the process of losing her breasts and the unbearable pain she is enduring. I am afraid of seeing her in pain, but I want to be there for her. What can I do? That's from Linda.
Wow. First, you know, I can't jump into an answer until I've let my whole being feel Linda.
Mm-hmm.
Linda was her mother. So Linda, I don't know how old you are. I don't know how old your mother is. But that doesn't really matter very much. Mother-daughter relationships are complex. Be real. If you're afraid, don't protect your mother from your fear. If love is the most wonderful thing, I mean, sometimes I'm going to go to it in a different direction in a minute. Okay. There are certain things that can really, really help us. Diseases like breast cancer are caused by life. Style, not your mother's fault, Linda. Breast cancer is almost non-existent, or was almost non-existent in many countries of the world, and it is very, very prevalent in our country. It's higher in Denmark and Scandinavia and Great Britain, England, and it's directly related to what we eat. Directly related to what we eat, And that's a whole other subject, Coach Ade. We can go into it another time, because if you want to do one thing that empowers you, moves toward health and helps heal the environment, you have to stop eating as much meat as we do, because it is really not good for us. Uh-huh. And there's a lot of confusion about this. I am very well informed, and I know what the arguments are in different ways. I can say that I'm very well informed, and I can also say that new information comes all the time. But, Linda, I would say go home to your mom, get books on how to cook, you know, truly whole food, plant-based foods, and get her on that, because if it doesn't stop her from losing her breasts, it will certainly tremendously improve the odds that she won't have a recurrence and that this treatment that she's having now will be successful. It's one of the few things you can do. And don't listen to the doctors that say, when you're going through this, you need a lot of protein. And then, because there is tons of protein in vegetables, tons. And in breast milk, there's only 5% of the calories in protein at the time when a human being is growing the fastest of all and the most important tissues of the body, namely the brain and the muscles and the bones. They're all being laid down, but particularly the nervous system and the brain. And breast milk is the absolute best food for a baby, and it only has 5% protein. So, you know, you can't get a piece of meat that has 5% of calories by protein. And so arguably I would say, you know, don't listen to anyone that tells you you're not going to get enough protein. Don't even listen to a doctor, because they're not informed. Most doctors are nutritionally not informed. And That will help your mom not have a recurrence. But between now and then, cry together, laugh together, love together, and fight together. You can. All of it's okay. All of it is okay. And that's how you help her. You help her by being real. You help her by being angry when you can't deal with her anymore. And then just when your heart opens again, you just say, "I'm so sorry. That's how I felt in the moment." It's not, you know, love shines through even our fear. And don't be afraid, Linda, of that you can't help her. You can't help her, and in the sense of you can't be in her body, you can't do anything for her body, but your energy helps her. And the more authentic you are, the more that helps her. And you can pray, and that helps her. There's ways of sharing energy, but to change a disease when it's this advanced with energy is very, very rare. And I have done energy work with 3,000 people. I have worked with people with advanced disease and new disease and all kinds of things. And sometimes we really can slow disease down and reverse it and change pain. But very often, once it's at a certain place, you can't do anything about it. Cancer goes in stages. The first stage is easy to reverse if you catch it, and you can easily reverse it at that stage by simply cutting down animal protein. Once it gets to the second stage, it's still reversible. And again, it can be tremendously slowed down by not eating meat, any form of meat. And then once it gets to the third stage, there's absolutely nothing. I don't mean staging in the way medicine says it, you know, spreading and metastasizing. There's a certain progression of maturing of a cancer till it gets to the point where it's not going to reverse without surgery, without chemotherapy, things like that. And some people have reversed themselves from advanced cancer just by going on a whole food plant-based diet. That's there. But chemotherapy treats the symptoms. Nutrition makes your immune system healthy, good nutrition. And good immune system is what's designed to fight cancer. Every person on planet Earth right now has cancer in them. Mm. Every day you may get a new one. I don't know if it's every day. Nobody really knows. But the ability for cells to metastasize and become cancer, when you have 100 trillion cells in your body, you have cancer every day, but you have an immune system that beats it. Beats it 99% of the time. But it doesn't beat it 99% of the time when you weaken the immune system with bad nutrition, with too much stress, with bad eating, you know, living habits, and things like that. Then once the immune system gets weakened, these diseases will grow. And spirituality doesn't protect you from that. You know, the Tibetan Buddhists are among the most deeply conscious spiritual people. And when I traveled years and years ago, to the Tibetan Children's Village, which I donated money to, they had Tibetan medicine, which is basically an energy-based and plant herb-based medicine. They were maybe the originators of acupuncture, which then spread to China from Tibet. But what did they do for tuberculosis? Western drugs. What did they do for cancer? Once it's there and more advanced, Western medicine. But for general prevention and overall health, they use their medicine, and it's very effective, as is Chinese medicine very effective. It just depends on what stage we're at. But So that's a long, long answer. Just be yourself. Be angry. Be in tears. Love her. Fight with her. Whatever it takes. And if you decide you want to not feel powerless, go out and buy some books on whole food plant-based cooking. And there's a book called Thrive. It has good recipes in it, the Thrive Cookbook. It's written by a champion professional triathlete who doesn't eat any meat ever. And he's got great recipes. So those are those thoughts.
Yes, you know? Yes.
Because the body is a mechanism, and what you put in it really matters. Just like what comes out of our mouths really matters.
Yes, indeed. And that's the thing we need to remember now. It's so much going on with food, but we must become conscious and awake. And I'm grateful for who you are. I am so, so grateful. And
based on your time, if you're available in January or maybe February, we want to bring you back to talk more about food, to talk about death, to talk about things that matter that sometimes we put on hold, to talk about sex and sexuality. We're like, oh my God, you know, it's a thing. It's amazing that the things that matter to us the most, we don't want to talk about it, or we have all kind of confused belief around them. And things like pain and dis-ease have us face the things that we didn't want to talk about. And I love how you bring ease to it. It's almost time to release the show. And before you go, anything you want to share with our listeners that you haven't talked about or just, that you're just feeling? I know on your website you have all kind of tools and resources that people can use to, because it's easy to hear this and say, oh my God, yes, I want to be there. But we must be willing to do the work. So feel free to share whatever you want to share with our listeners before we release the show.
Well, I just want to thank you, and I want to thank Celeste for your love and for the dedication that's clearly in this show, and for the playfulness and intelligence with which you do it, and wisdom. So it's a joy. And we are not here, you and I, to fix people. We're here to help people have ideas so they invent themselves, create themselves.
Yes.
We're not here to fix anybody. You know, none of us, you know, the best we can, I can't fix me. I can invent me. I can create me. I can create an open heart instead of a closed one. I can create a different relationship to pain than the one I used to have. That's what we are all here for. And we can invent a world that everyone wants to be part of, but we have to do it together.
We need each other. Oh, I am so grateful that we're in each other's camp, and I thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Love to your dear wife, and we're sending you lots of love as you move through this moment, and looking forward to continuing the conversation with you, my brother. Thank you so much.
Happily. I'm very willing.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Coach Addy. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday time.
Thank you, sir. You too.
And peace to all our listeners, blessings for joyous holidays and loving holidays.
Yeah, and the listeners, they're just grateful for you. I think Yvette said, whoa, thank you for your wisdom, Richard Moss, and much peace and love to you.
Thank you, Yvette.
Tanya said, yes, speak. I am living my life and trust in the process. Just breathe. Tamara said, what a sweet man. And so Celeste said, what a beautiful soul. New Jay said, yes, he is. So you're getting a lot of love in the chat room, and thank you for who you are.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Peace and blessings.
Bye.
Nothing else needs to be said. Other than some reminders. I can't, there's no need. People like Richard Moss inspire gratitude in me on such a deep level and moves me deeply and continues to believe in humanity. Thank you all for listening. We are, it's a great time, you know, we're truly empowered. We're getting ready to release the show, and I'll be back tomorrow with some more brothers talking about men dealing with emotions as I release some liquid thoughts through my eyes. I'm so moved by Richard Moss, and I'm so grateful. I'll be back tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern. Join us if you're available. You know how to find information about the show. I'm going to release the show with Cynthia James. It's the title of the song is Let It Go. Whatever that means for you, I am so grateful. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you, for all of you, for all that you're moving through, for all that you're living with, and reminding you to be love, because it is who you are. Be true to yourself. That is your salvation. But we must always remember to allow ourselves to be loved. It's important. I'm out of here. Cynthia James, her website address. CynthiaJames.net. I'll see you tomorrow. Peace and blessings.
Thank you.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.